Please turn with me to Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. I'll read from verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And as we come to God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you with your word open before us. Maybe very familiar words to each one of us, but we pray that you would speak to us, that we would join with the angels in praising Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, in giving glory to you. Heavenly Father, open our eyes to understand your word. Bless us this morning, we pray, and do us good as we remember those who are in need, who are struggling, as we remember again those suffering in the Philippines and in other places too, praying that you would continue to bless those who are bringing relief to them, and praying again for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake across the world, and pleading with you, our Father, for the spread of the gospel even this day, that people would see through all the extra things that surround this time of the year and come to see and to know Christ as Lord and Saviour. We ask it in his precious name. Amen. So I want to think with you this morning briefly about this extraordinary anthem. Now, we've considered the shepherds together before, and we've thought about how great their fear was, and then how great their faith was. And we can't imagine really just how overwhelming the experience was for the shepherds. We read it, we're familiar with it, but these are very regular, hard-working guys out in the countryside in the pitch black, and they are suddenly shocked by an appearance they've never seen before, a brightness in the middle of the night. It is, and a sound and a noise. It is quite overwhelming. I'm sure it was quite overwhelming for them. And God is so gracious in giving them a moment to get used to one angel before all the angels appeared. And if you look at the text, you'll see that's what happened, because one angel appears and tells them not to be afraid, and then they all appear. I think they might have had a heart attack if all the angels had just appeared at once in the sky. Well, I think God was very kind to them, very gracious. So this is another of those verses that's very familiar in the Christmas account. A multitude of angels in verse 13, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Well, who knows what it looked like? Who can only imagine what it looked like or what it sounded like? But at least we know what they sang, you might say. Ah, but did they sing? We don't actually really know whether they sang or not, because if you look, it says they were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Now, the word that's translated saying, it can mean speaking, it can mean chanting, it can mean singing. They could have been doing any of these things. Of course, we like to think, and I do believe, that they were singing, because that would be the most appropriate thing to do. But we don't actually 100% know that. The language can mean that. But what matters is what they said, of course, what they sang. I hope they did. And they're the words of first-hand witnesses to the glory of God. The angels. There's no one who should praise God at that moment like the angels, because they've seen it all. They saw the Lord create the world and everything in it. They saw him create everything very good. They saw just how beautiful was the world that God had made. They marveled at his creation of man. They wondered at this amazing creation. Man and woman made in the image of God. And they must have sorrowed the day that Adam and Eve fell into sin and were cut off from God, and looked on in horror and wondered what on earth could be done, and looked on and witnessed the promise made that one would come who would crush the serpent's head. Well, they saw all these things, and now, in the fullness of the time, they see their Lord, the Eternal Son, the Prince of Heaven, born of a woman, coming taking on flesh, entering time. It's amazing. No wonder that they called out this amazing peal of praise. It must have stirred their adoration so greatly. So what did they sing? Because, yeah, I think they sang it. What did they sing? Look at the text. Glory to God in the highest. Why? Well, because what Jesus Christ is doing is the greatest, most selfless act of love that history has ever and will ever see. The greatest sacrifice, the highest love, and it calls for the highest praise. And they raise this shout together, desiring that all creation might praise God. They've got the priority order right. God first, then men. And indeed, because of God's glory and his wonderful character and deeds, that's only because of that that there can be any blessing on earth at all. Glory to God in the highest. Only because of that. And it's a familiar verse. Most translations have it differently, mind you. And I have to say, you know, get in trouble for, put on trial for heresy or something. I agree with the majority of other translations that differ from the King James and the New King James Version at this point. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what the New King James says. Or, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace toward men of goodwill, men of good pleasure. Or toward men with whom God is pleased. That is the way it is better translated. It turns on the presence or absence of a single character at the end of a Greek word. It makes that difference. But we see very plainly that all good is coming from God toward men. The angels give glory to God. They sing about peace on earth. Christ has come, and he is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings peace between God and man. He's the one who opens the way for man to be reconciled, brought back to God, as he takes our place, lives a perfect life, and offers that righteousness at Calvary's cross in his death. You say, well, I don't want to think about Easter today, it's Christmas. But Christmas is all about Easter, and you can't separate the two. I went to a carol service last night. More for me, I didn't hear a single word about why Jesus came. Just meaningless platitudes about how he came to show us all to love one another and to be kind, and that we ought to listen to the angels whispering in our ears, telling us to do good things. And it was devastating, but it reminded me just how precious the gospel is, and how much it has been corrupted in so many places, and how blind even so many preachers are to the truth of God's word. You see, Christmas is all about Easter. Jesus came into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why? To save sinners. You will call his name Jesus because why? He will save his people from their sins. It's so obvious. And how anyone can say anything else? Why, it just amazes me. There's no peace with God without the cross. God the Father in the highest heaven, to whom be all glory, has sent his Son to earth to be the one who brings about this peace. And this peace is toward men of goodwill or good pleasure. And again, you say, well, what is the source of goodwill or good pleasure? It's God himself. And so the ESV has it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And that's important, really, because this language here in the old translation that's picked up in our carols, it gives a slightly misleading impression, I think. And people sing the carols and they love them. Oh, yes, God is pleased with everyone. God has goodwill toward everyone. God loves everyone. Jesus comes, it's a kind of catch-all, universal blessing to everyone, and there's something for everyone. Now, it's true, in one sense, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it's equally true that not everyone is. And not everyone does trust the Lord. Not everyone is in his favor. That's just a fact. But at Christmas, no one wants to think about that. So we prefer this kind of wording. Oh yes, goodwill toward men, goodwill toward everyone, peace and joy and light and happiness. And we'll all have an extra slice of turkey or whatever. You slice turkey. Slice of Christmas cake, there you go. And we'll all be happy, and that's great. But that's not what the scripture says. You see, it's not hard to feel, I've said this before too, it's not hard to feel a little bit of affection for baby Jesus. Oh, who doesn't love a little bit of baby Jesus? Baby Jesus in the manger, isn't he cute, unthreatening, undemanding, he can't speak, can't tell you to do anything, can't challenge you about anything. But of course, he is born in order that he will develop and grow, and he will become Christ. Well, he is the Christ, but he will become the greatest teacher the world has ever seen, and he will grow up to be the Saviour in his action at Calvary's cross. And that's the challenge. Jesus Christ brings peace to those upon whom God's favour rests. That's the reality. To all those who believe on him and trust him. Not to those who sing the odd carol now and again and say a few words. To know the peace of God, we need to know the person who brings that peace. And perhaps there isn't any Christmas carol that gets dissed as much as Away in a Manger. Every year, friends of mine, I've got lots of friends who are preachers or serious about the Bible, and I'll always see a post somewhere, Facebook or Twitter or something, someone will be saying, why on earth do people still sing Away in a Manger? It's got things in it that aren't true. Well, yes, there is that line, little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. And there's no basis for that whatsoever, to think that the baby Jesus didn't cry. He was a regular baby. Of course he must have cried. But even so, it's a carol that touches my heart every time I hear it. Not just because I remember singing it as a child, but because I remember how personal it felt to me towards the end of this little carol. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. And that's the great need of every one of us, to have the love of Christ and to know his presence. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. And here's the great reason that Christ came from the heights of glory to raise sinful men and women and children to such heights again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards those with whom he is pleased. He comes to raise us up to glory with him, all his people. How can a child in a manger do that? Because he's going to grow up? Well, yes, but because of who he is. He is God and man, God incarnate. What a wonder, what a glory it is. Still today, when I hear the words of Away in a Manger, I sing them. And I take them to heart, and I mean them just as I did when I was a child, because I need it just as much now as I did then. Be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me. Love me. There's no hope without him. There's no hope without Christ. There's no eternal life without him and knowing him and trusting him. His love is my greatest need. I deserve nothing. But God in Christ brings me everything. As we saw last year from 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. It's no wonder the angels sang for joy. at the prospect, the certain prospect of Eden restored, of glory to God in the highest, of man, God and sinners reconciled. But the angels went away. They appear in all their glory and brightness. We get their song in verse 14. And then verse 15 says, so it was when the angels had gone away. The night returns to silence. The light recedes and all is darkness again. The angels are gone. Well, soon the Christmas season will be gone too. You spend forever building up to it and then it's gone in a day, more or less. Unless you'd like to stretch it out a bit like me and try and make it last a bit. I do. I'm quite good at making it last. It's really quite frustrating to some people. I'm still on Christmas, about a week later. But even so, compared to the whole year, it's gone, isn't it? Gone so quickly. Well, the angels were just there and they were gone. What are you going to do? Pack up the decorations, pack up the crib, put it all away, forget about it for another year, come back to it. Real life is kicking in again. Oh. Or will you be like the shepherds? When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see. Let's go and see. Let us draw near to this Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Let us find him. Let us know him. Let us worship him. That's our job all year round, not just once a year. And that is the call of the gospel, to know Jesus Christ, to trust him, to believe on him, not just once a year, but every day of the year. We need to have that attitude of the shepherds. We need to share the perspective of the angels at the great wonder of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Our need is so great. Friends, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who does good. There is none who seeks after God. We're all sinners. We've all broken God's laws. We've all done things we shouldn't, thought, said things we shouldn't. Maybe even today, all this day of days, we've already sinned. Well, our need is great, but his grace is greater. And what he has done is greater. He has come, he has lived, he has suffered, he has died, he has risen, he reigns, and he's coming again. No wonder the angels sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill, men with whom God is well pleased. May it be that he is pleased with us. You say, well, how can it be? How can I know that God is pleased with me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that's it. It's not about who you are, what you've done, what you've earned, what you deserve. None of us deserve a thing. Christmas presents, we don't deserve them. We receive them. They're gifts. And so Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all, is given to all who humbly ask him, all who seek him, all who believe upon him. What it is to know him. We need to know him. 365 days of the year. We need to know him now. And if we do, he will bring us through this world to eternal glory. He will save us, forgive us our sin, bless us, and do us good. No wonder that there is peace on earth and goodwill and the favour of God resting upon all his people. May he bless his word to our hearts. Amen.